due to some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
And they told you to wear that in 2020?
Yeah, they said Canadian tuxedo, leather sunglasses, abs, and a little sign. Hashtag More Morrison is definitely gonna trend.
What if it doesn't trend?
Well, that'd make me feel sick.
How sick?
Poor Seth Rollins pukes sick.
That's pretty sick.
Speaking of sick, Seth ain't looking so hot. Like he stopped tanning, stopped training. Maybe he's depressed or something.
Moving on.
Hey, it's The Miz from the WWE on Sports Radio 1280 WHTK.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Morning, wrestling fans. Welcome to the Pain Clinic for July 25th. Holidays today, real quick. It's Culinarians Day. National Chili Dog Day. National Day of the Cowboy. Here's to you, Adam Page, and Threading the Needle Day. Happy 39th birthday to the first WWE Universal Champion, Fergal Devitt. You don't remember him? Oh, Finn Balor. You might know him better as today's 39. Boy, he looks great for 39. I'll let you know, Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire at Culver. Interested in roller derby? Would you like to be a skater? Officiate? Roxy Roller Derby needs you. Yeah, I know we're in a downtime right now, but they're always looking for volunteers. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join the Rock City Roller Derby. If you're interested in the men's team, it's Flower City Fear, F-L-O-U-R, Flower City Fear. Go to flowercityfear.com and you can volunteer there as well. Welcome to the show today. I am the Cash Man. I'm your humble host, joined on the air. It's only three of us today. It's me. It's Danger Boy. Hey, good morning, Danger.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'll turn you down a little bit. You're loud. And also the Artiste joins us. Good morning, Artiste.
Good morning.
Nobody told me. Well, we all kind of got. Is it an orange hoodie you got on there?
It's kind of like a neon salmon something. I really don't know how to describe it, but
We're all kind of color coordinated. I got the orange on, and Danger's got the orange hat, and it's a little bit color coordinated, sort of. But we're all on Facebook Live, so if you want to see what we look like, we're streaming live on Facebook Live. You can see what we look
like. Weird, I can't see you guys on here. Every week there's something different with this Teams connection, but.
Oh, you can't see me?
I assume you're there. I can hear you.
I am here. And if the video was working, you would see me. But that's okay. Better to hear than see it. It's radio. We're here to talk about the world of pro wrestling. Hope you guys are all doing okay. Danger, how's your week been?
Can't complain. Nothing out of the ordinary.
Nothing out of the ordinary. How about you, Mr. Artiste? You happy to see sports back on the multimedia platforms like TV and radio and whatnot?
As somebody that works in sports, I don't know how to answer that. I want sports to be back, but I want everything to be safe and healthy and stuff. I enjoyed watching the Blue Jays game last night. I'm going to watch hockey, but like, do I think it's the right time for everything? I don't know. I'm going to be completely honest. So, maybe I'll be a little hypocritical and watch some of it, but not be totally comfortable with it. But I mean, I'm hoping, obviously, that everything gets back to normal soon, but I know we talked about it a little bit before. I'm kind of a little weird about the NHL being back right now and what that's going to do for next season, too. and the minor leagues and everything else.
I hear I hear there's an open job in Seattle now for the Kraken. Brand new team. I love it. Believe me, I love that logo. That's cool. You know,
the logo's great. I think the team name is cool. The only thing I'm not crazy about is team names that are singular and how that gets confusing from a wording aspect. Like the Kraken is on the power play or the Kraken are on the power play, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I've worked for a singular team before. It's not as fun as working for a plural team.
Sure. And someday when there's Krakens everywhere, they're going to want that name changed because, you know, they're making fun of
them.
So I shouldn't say that, but I think it's hilarious. I love the. I can't wait. I want to get a jersey or something from them because they're pretty cool looking. But there is a job open there now in Seattle, and there's a whole, you know, who knows? Maybe Mr. Artiste will be moving to the West Coast. You never know.
I mean, they're probably going to need an AHL team and other stuff too. So
that's right. That's right. So hey, we're here to talk pro wrestling. I know we got on the sidetrack of sports, but you know, how can you not be excited when Toronto Blue Jays are going to be playing all their home games in Buffalo? You know, all 30 of them. Which
it's kind of more of a tease, though, because like we can't go.
You can't go. I know.
Like I'm excited. I love it, but like at the same time, it's like. I don't know. Now you want to like just like peer through the gates and be like extra sad that you can't be in there watching.
Well, you know people.
And it's only 28 home games, by the way. The first two they're playing in Washington because they still have to retrofit the stadium for TV.
They got to get the lights in there. Yes, but you know
people. It could be more than that.
You know, You know people will be outside those gates watching. You know that they're going to find a way. And then, of course, in Rochester, we get the travel team, they call it now or whatever? The
taxi squad.
The taxi squad. We get that. So so they'll be working out every day here at Frontier Field. So at least it's something.
And not to get too sidetracked, but that's cool and all. But, like, so your minor leaguers would normally be playing in Buffalo, but then they get bumped to Rochester. Like, why can't those few guys just practice with the main team in Buffalo? I don't know. But cool that there's some association here.
Well, you know, the amazing thing is, I think, like, what, opening day was Thursday, and yesterday was the opening day for everybody else. But as the week was going on this past week, people were testing positive to COVID-19. You know, people on, like, for instance, the Atlanta Braves lost both their catchers in one day to quarantine because they tested positive. So this is going to be kind of like a delicate balance for these games. And, you know, hopefully, you know, there's no shutdown in the middle of this. They spent a lot of time thinking about it, you know.
There's a lot of travel. That's what makes me nervous with it, to be honest. And if the NHL is coming back and there's not going to be really the same travel at all, you know, with those NHL bubbles in Canada, but look at how many hockey players have opted out of playing. It's pretty significant. So
yeah.
Interesting summer.
Definitely, and we've got, what was it, like, is it 10 days before we start the NHL games, as well as the NBA? They start at the end of the month, so it's coming
like
pretty.
Like a week.
Yeah, it's like a week. It's like coming quick, you know, but we're here to talk about the world of pro wrestling, so let's get to it. Why not? Pro wrestling has not shut down due to COVID-19 yet, as far as we know. it hasn't, and it won't, and some things we want to talk about this weekend. If you want to talk with us, 222-1280 is the number, *1280. We'll get here as well. You can text us at that number. I'll call up the text so we can look at it. But a lot of things in this past week. Remember last week, going into last weekend, we had two pay-per-views. We had Impact pay-per-view and we had the WWE pay-per-view. And, you know, production-wise, I mean, what do you guys think? I mean, I don't like the say that they were against each other, but you know, you did have two pay-per-views in one weekend. One was obviously going to be better than the other, and we got together for Impact and watched that. I enjoyed that immensely because there's one, besides the fact that there's, you know, it's kind of like, it's not the WWE tier of talent, but they have great talent down there, and we got to see a lot of it. And and I will say that the horror show Extreme Rules, I don't know how to give that a grade, because I felt like it was like an incomplete, you know. It they had eight matches planned, six, so we only saw six. It was done by 9:30, and I wasn't happy with a lot of the, you know, I mean, you have two people walking away with titles that really didn't win them. So but what do you guys think about this past week on Impact, all the debuts? We'll start with the debuts on Impact. Had a whole handful of guys show up. Artiste, what do you think?
So I think, just overall, I definitely enjoyed Slammiversary, and I did not enjoy Extreme Rules, and that's kind of what we anticipated going into the weekend of pay-per-views. In terms of your question about the actual debuts, it's tough because I don't know if we've ever seen before a situation where we had such hype about, like, oh, people are going to be showing up. Here's your commercial we're going to play over and over again. Like, all these people are going to show up. And the people that showed up, it was cool, but there weren't really huge surprises to it. And, like, the Good Brothers didn't have a match that night. Brian Myers didn't show up that night. Other people you thought maybe would show up didn't. Heath was backstage. So as much as I enjoyed the pay-per-view and enjoyed Impact on Tuesday, the debut aspect I felt like was maybe overhyped, where it was a little almost disappointing. It was still cool. But I enjoyed the Motor City Machine Guns coming back maybe more than the Good Brothers grabbing the microphone it was great to see Eric come back, but I feel like there was so much hype for, like, all right, who's the mystery guy going to be? And, you know, EC3 recorded. I don't know. I think it fell a little flat on that. But I don't want to take away from overall. I think they're on the right path, and I think it was a great show.
Danger?
Yeah, I think they did a good job with their show. I think they showed they still have the second best women's division in all of wrestling, if not real close to the top. I mean, that the Deonna Purrazzo Jordynne Grace match was fantastic. You got the Motor City Machine Guns coming back, and a lot of these weren't even debuts. There was only two people that debuted. It was Heath Slater and Carl Anderson. Everyone else has been in Impact before, so it's more returns. When you go to the horror show at Extreme Rules, I think more of the issue was they had some solid matches. They had some Asuka versus Sasha Banks was a really good match until they went to the finish. And that seemed to be the case with most of their stuff. Their finishes were terrible. I don't know who decided to sign off on that stuff. I mean, the eye for an eye match, once you get past the stupid stipulation, it was a solid match until you got to the finish. And I don't know exactly what the heck they were trying to pull off, but it was very disappointing the matches exceeded expectation until you hit the finish, and then you're like, oh yeah, this is why this is crap.
Yeah, you know, I will say that, you guys both make good points about the Impact debuts. Heath Slater actually showed up in ringside when he first showed up, because they were in the middle of doing a side. They were doing like an interview, or they were talking about promoting the next match, and all of a sudden Heath Slater's behind him. Heath Slater truly is probably one. I'm guessing it was the big name debut because of he got that segment and then backstage catching up with Rhino. But it was the Charlie Brown. Heath Slater, you know, where it's like, well, you're not working here, you know, get out, you know. So it's obviously. And then, of course, Brian Myers shows up on Tuesday as well as EC3. And I think there's solid wrestlers, the solid guys towards the future. And the Motor City Machine Guns were great. We know the problems Chris Sabin's had with both of his knees. And it was nice to see him come back and wrestle. He's a guy that just had some bad luck. He'd come back from one knee and blow out the next one. I remember it was just a difficult time. Dude who I met at 2CW here in Rochester at the place over there in down in the city. You know, it's like he was a nice guy, and it was cool meeting him with 2CW in town. And but it was nice to see him back out there and actually being able to do it too, do like the drop off the corner and stuff. So because it's he had a lot of problems, and it's very cool. And then no surprise. He had to watch it, I guess, on Tuesday. But they won the titles from the longest reigning tag title holders, which I'm surprised at, but not. You know, I mean, at least it kind of builds up that division a bit for the tag team. It was, that was cool. And now the the horror show at Extreme Rules. Ugh, boy, I tell you, it was hard for, I hate, you know, I'm going to admit this, and you're all going to, you know, hate me anyways, because you do. I see the comments on iTunes and stuff, but I fell asleep during the Bray Wyatt, during the Bray Wyatt match at the very end. There was a point when,
I wish I would have.
When Braun Strowman was staring into the water, it kind of was like hypnotizing, and I fell asleep. And then I missed the whole Alexa Bliss thing. I mean, Alexa Bliss apparently showed up as Sister Abigail, or, well, it was somebody.
It was Braun's image of what he wanted. And, cool. I mean, you can't watch that match and think it's actually a wrestling match. You have to watch that match and watch it like a B-horror flick. And I mean, Braun set someone on fire, and then he beat himself up. It's a B horror flick. It's Hollywood. It's not wrestling. But at the same time, they had a lot of callbacks to things, so that was kind of interesting. And if you follow it, it does progress the story, but it's not a wrestling match at all.
He did disappear underneath the water, and at the very end, he never came up. But the
and then last night on SmackDown, Mr. Rogers, Bray Wyatt, was like, oh, I'm not letting you back out. He was talking to the Lantern Head, which was the old Bray.
Yeah.
I just don't. Once again, it's one of those situations where it would have been a cool segment to lead up to an actual match. I don't want to see any more of this garbage being presented like it's a match. No referee. There's no winner. There's no. It's not. Like, it's becoming too cheesy and too. I don't know, like the CGI missed last night on SmackDown too. Like, we're going, and this whole stuff about them like eliminating the ceiling fans from the Performance Center digitally. Like, what can we not like turn this into an animated product? I don't know. There's too much wacky stuff going on there right now, and I think I don't know anybody who watched that pay per view to the finish and then like had a great feeling about it when they turned it off at the end.
The only good thing I thought was, well, I did wake up at the end and I could watch the rest of Family Guy, so because it ended so darn early. But they promised us 8 matches. We've got 6. They carried one was on Monday, obviously, the Monday before with Randy Orton versus The Big Show in an unsanctioned match. And then the last one was last night, Jeff Hardy versus Sheamus in a barroom something or another. Well, the only reason they had a referee was there was to count the 3 count. And apparently Jeff Hardy turned into what was the character that he became?
Well, he kind of went like between Brother Nero and Willow the Wisp.
Yeah, it was Brother Nero though with the eyes, when he had like the cross-hatched eye contact.
And he mentioned his brother during the sit-down portion of the match.
He did.
When they were hanging out at the bar.
He did. He said he and my brother had to go home and recharge or whatever and get out of here because of the way things were. But did you guys watch that last night? I mean, it was kind of like they gave, what, about 15, almost 20 minutes to that match on TV last night, you know, to end the show. And it was, it was just a match that, you know, of course, they had a couple times where in which they had someone got thrown down the bar and broke all the glasses, and then they broke them all again a little bit later. And, you know, it was, and then they fought off a ladder. And then,
I will say, I have been to a few bars in my time, and I've never been to one where they leave pitchers sitting on the bar for everybody to drink out of, nor where those pitchers were such cheap glass that they would just shatter when someone gets rolled down the bar.
Yeah, that or kicked off by, you know, I mean, and there was glass everywhere, according to what we saw, you know, and obviously they were landing on it. And, you know, so there was definitely a lot. I mean, it was done kind of cinematically as well, because Jeff Hardy turned into Brother Neo. What's it again? Neo? No, Brother
Nero.
When he was, because it's his middle name, when he was laying on his back, because he pulled the thing off his face and it's like his makeup changed and everything. And then it turned into a slaughter for Sheamus after that. And who knows where he goes from this. You know, I mean, I kind of thought he was going to get pushed heavily when he came back anyways, because he's always had that following. You know, he's definitely got he's been there forever. And you talked about that a bit last night, you know, 20 years or almost 20 years being there, maybe more at WWE since he was 16, I think he said. So it was like, but you know, he definitely, I remember when they gave him that push when he won the belt in Buffalo, and it was like it was well deserved, and he is definitely deserves to be in that upper echelon of the but it's kind of hard to do that during a COVID-19 world, you know, because you're not getting reactions from anybody but the people who are booking these things and the way they're telling the crowd to make noises. And by the way, I could not stand defeated in crowd noise. It was driving me crazy because there's no crowd there for that noise to happen. You know, it's kind of like they did in baseball too the other night. They fed in crowds. It's like, it's just like the hum of the crowd.
At least WWE doesn't have cardboard cutouts of people in the crowd.
No, that's true.
Because I'm over that already, too.
Oh, yeah, that looks silly in Los Angeles. On that note, we're going to go to break.
Philly, a bunch of places, yeah.
We're going to go to break. I want to talk a little bit when we come back about Cody Rhodes and this open challenge he has, where it seems to be he's not really wrestling anybody from his own company, but people from the outside. And we got to see Eddie Kingston show up, which Mr. Ortiz, you think probably know him better than we do because of him being around Evolve as well as I remember him in Impact when he was part of the LAX for a while in Impact. But we'll go to break, talk about that on the flip side. If you have a call, 222-1280 star 1280. We'll be back right after these messages on Fox Sports 1280.
I'm gonna do exactly what you did to me. I'm going to tell you the stipulation right before the bell rings.
We would never once leave you alone, not at a bar and not in this ring. We would never leave you alone. So that's what we are here to offer you.
I appreciate the compliments and all, and I appreciate the offer of friendship, but to be honest with you, I don't know if I'm really ready to join a cult right now.
I don't want Bobby to put me and Nelson from Simpson again. Dog, it actually hurts. Did you know that?
It worked. Full Nelson, and what MVP was trying to say is the new 24/7 champ.
Well, this is me, right? Listen, you had your chance. It's his turn now. He has been unleashed.
This is D'Lo Brown. You better recognize you're listening to Pain Clinic.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the cast man with the Artiste and Danger Boy and you and Samoa Joe music and a little D'Lo Brown there. Remember that, Danger? Do you remember we had D'Lo Brown on this show? Man, it must have been like the third or fourth week we were on the air. I can't remember.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
He was in a hotel in Detroit. So came on, talked a little bit. You know, it's before all the bad things happened, you know. But, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, D'Lo, unfortunately, had an accident in a match that crippled somebody. Draws, who we also had on the show around the same time, too. Maybe it was our bad luck. Well, nevertheless, we haven't had really guests in a while. We're going to have somebody on because that ECW show has been rescheduled, that ECW reunion at the Comedy Club. Now that I don't know if it's going to get pushed back again, though, because the Comedy Club just kind of went just because of something that the governor did yesterday made them have to close down again. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but it's on their Facebook
page. I believe it's because they don't have a actual food menu. They have like snacks, and that doesn't count anymore for the for being able to drink.
By the way, that kills me because I think chicken wings are a meal, and apparently our governor does not qualify chicken wings as a meal because I don't know, because you have to have he doesn't want people going out to bars for the sake of just drinking. He wants them to go out and get food and maybe have an adult beverage with it or something. I think it's crazy. You know, I know that it's funny when he announced it a week ago, a lot of people had this thing called Como chips on their list where you'd automatically have to buy them, and it was just like a bag of potato chips, you know, but it was a food item. So, but that I think he took that wrong. He might have seen it a few times on social media and it's like, okay, now we're gonna say chips and chicken wings aren't meals. And it's like, you got to be crazy. If you're in Western New York and you're saying chicken wings aren't meals, there's restaurants strictly that all they sell is chicken wings, you know? I don't know. I'm kind of disappointed about that. Hopefully that gets resolved quickly. But because I brought that up, just because the comedy at the Carlson is going to have the ECW reunion. I think it was November or September. I know they changed the date. I just can't look at my phone right now to tell you because we're doing Facebook Live with it. So it's out there. But we're going to have someone on to talk about it again. We had Justin Credible. Well, maybe Shane Douglas next time sounds good. Or maybe the Sandman. I'm kind of scared of getting Sandman on the air.
Yeah, I would. Worry about the Sandman.
Yeah. But how you doing, Rob? What do you think? Chicken wings a meal here in Rochester?
Honestly, chicken wings, absolutely. Chips, no. I get the point of that. Like I said, I've seen plenty of videos from Corpus Christi of crowded bars where nobody's actually eating and it's just drunk people fighting and spreading the disease and stuff. So I see the side of that, but when I think about a meal that I want, an actual meal, not a snack, whatever, chicken wings is one of the first things that come to mind. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been thinking about chicken wings since they announced that you had. It's like, oh, I could go for some. So I've been thinking.
They sound great right now.
They do. Yeah. They do. It'd be nice to have some in the morning here. But, you know, I'll go to Salvatore's later and pick some up because, you know, I think a good 6 or 12 I could pound right now. But we're going to talk the world of pro wrestling, get back a little bit into it. I wanted to talk about Cody. This past week, Cody having that thrown that rule out there for the TNT Championship, anyone's eligible. So far, we've only seen one actual AEW wrestler wrestle him for it, and that was what does he call himself, the Murder Hawk?
We've seen more than that. You've seen Sonny Kiss and Jungle Boy.
Sorry, Sonny Kiss, but he's going on a streak now here of taking people outside of the company. We had Eddie Kingston this week. Next week we've got Warhorse, which I'm not really sure who the Warhorse is, but I'm sure, you know, obviously.
Oh, you'll know.
Oh, I'll know.
You'll know Wednesday. Yeah.
But what do you think about Eddie Kingston coming out? First of all, they gave him a live mic to start it, which was kind of dangerous, but I thought that was great.
It's awesome. It showed how authentic Eddie Kingston is. Obviously he's the type of guy that's been around forever. He's worked every indie. He's a weekend warrior all over the roads and stuff. And I just think it's just one of those feel good moments. And I think the promo delivered, the match delivered. And, you know, you see Twitter in the hours and the days after that, everybody wants him signed. I'm fully on board with that. Eddie Kingston's awesome. And I really loved that on Wednesday. Warhorse is somebody who's got a ton of hype out there. Honestly, he's not like my number one guy on the indies, but I love that they're doing it. I think this is something where they're acknowledging that there is this diehard indie wrestling, internet wrestling crowd, however you want to word it. I mean, there are plenty of people that are really excited for this on Wednesday. So you're going to see Warhorse, who is almost like a Road Warrior version of the Ultimate Warrior, maybe. I don't know. Like, it's kind of a little parody-ish. It's a little crazy. I think it's going to be fun and it's different. And props to them. I hope they keep doing this because there's so many people that come to mind with this. I'm going to say Danhausen's name right now. And he's somebody who has kind of an association on the indies with Warhorse that I'd love to see him next up after this. We can name a list a mile long. Got lots of people from New York too. I think it's really cool they're doing that. But Eddie Kingston coming out, they hyped it up, and I just, so many people were just happy, you know, at that start of the show on Wednesday to see him on national TV like that. It was awesome.
He also brought a favorite thing of his, which would be the bag of tacks underneath the ring. And Cody, oh my goodness, you know, you always cringe at those tack shots, but Cody had them everywhere, you know, the bottoms of his boots, the back of his arms, the back of it, you know, I mean, he's all in, you know, he's 100%, you know. And I thought that was crazy because then they had to wrestle for another like 5 minutes in the mat that was covered in tacks. And you could see them, you know, it's like there was no way to avoid them. You were, you know, even the referees count, you know. But yeah, I thought that was super exciting. That's great that they gave Eddie Kingston a mic from, and they call him the King. I saw a lot of comments, you know, people call. I mean, I know that Brody Lee and he at one time tagged for the Trios tournament in CZW. So
it was Chikara, right?
Yeah, Chikara. I'm sorry, Chikara. Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, so I know that there was an association there as well. Danger, what do you think about that?
Well, I like seeing it. My days of following the indies super closely were a lot earlier than Eddie Kingston's heyday, but I have seen a lot of Eddie Kingston, especially the stuff he did with LAX in Impact, and I thought they didn't get enough of a run with that stuff. But it's great to see someone who's deserving get the shot to be on TV and possibly hopefully earn himself a contract, because he should be under contract if it's just for being able to talk like that, because they don't have, other than MJF and a couple other people, they don't have great talkers in wrestling, period. Now it's not even just AEW, in wrestling period, you don't have the great people that can just go out there and cut a promo. So it's good to see that they realize that strength before the match and then and let him run with it and show it. The War Horse thing, I have no idea who this guy is. I know there is a lot of buzz about it, and it'll be interesting to watch. I know he's like, you know, one of the big indie names. He's the indie, whatever the federation that does the indie heavyweight title or whatever now. He's got that. He took it after Orange Cassidy had it for a while, too. So we'll see what happens. I like getting chances. I like seeing different people on TV. I like seeing people possibly earn themselves contracts in a very competitive business.
Yeah, it's the WTV, like the independent wrestling champion.
Yes.
So kind of defended on different promotions that are all under that IWTV banner, basically, that is one of those streaming apps. You can check out a lot of different indie wrestling and obviously see a lot of these people that are starting to make a name for themselves in AEW and stuff. And I think, you know, what you're saying there with Eddie Kingston, like he, obviously there's so much he can bring on camera, but I think you can clearly tell, too, from looking at the way everybody else in wrestling is talking about him on Twitter and stuff, he would just be an asset to have backstage also. A Colt Cabana-like person they've got, you know, Billy Gunn and Jerry Lynn. Like, just one of those guys that's kind of has a veteran presence, can really help with ideas and promos and just a positive attitude backstage, but then also deliver, you know, when he's on camera as well. So looking forward to that. Yeah, Warhorse, like I said, he's somebody, he usually tweets in all caps unless he's like being really serious about something. So that's kind of the way his character is as well. But I think you'll be entertained by it on Wednesday. Like I said, it's not like my number one favorite thing on the indies, but I think it's really cool that they're giving him a chance too.
Cool.
And obviously a lot of people were asking for it. When Arn Anderson mentioned Warhorse on TV, I was just like, is this real life? Like, is this really happening? So it'll be fun.
Does Arn Anderson really know who he is, or is it just part of the script handed to him?
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, we're going to go to break on that. I will say they are coming to Rochester, and there's a few guys here in town, and I know that Dewey's been pushing for it. So we'll see what happens, if it's still going on, if it happens here in Rochester. You know, if we finally get that date for AEW, which has been changed a couple times. We're going to go to break on that, come back, talk some more news. I want to talk a little bit about some things maybe on SmackDown last night that, you know, is it storyline? Is it real? That's coming up next. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
I am so confident that you don't belong here that I am officially putting out a king's ransom to anybody that can prove to the world that you don't belong in my kingdom.
Oh. Bruh, you got it all wrong. I'm not some helpless subject in your weird little made-up kingdom. But you are the next special guest star on The Bro Show.
Hello. With Kofi being out for, what is it, 6 weeks? I mean, we don't believe a word that Kofi said. because it's not Big E's time. It's not Big E's time at all.
No, no. It's our time now. The winner time.
Champion salute.
Hey, everybody, this is Jim Cornette Bling, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
That guy sucks.
Hey, who said that? Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I forgot to tell you guys that, though. Your mics are hot when we're running new sounders.
So, I figured it was.
That's okay. I mean, we've only been doing this for, what, 4 months now? Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with the Artiste. Who said that, by the way? But, he does, actually. Yeah. Apparently, he does. So is his wife, I hear. But it only has something to do with feet. I'm not sure what that talk was about. But we're here to talk about the world of pro wrestling. And I kind of teased going into the break a little bit about yesterday on SmackDown. Apparently, Kofi Kingston got hurt after being put through two tables when they lost their titles to Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura during the pay-per-view, which wasn't too bad. I was actually surprised to see a title change. But supposedly Kofi got hurt. It's going to be out for 6 weeks, so now it's only the only one who's healthy from the New Day is Big E. Is it now 6 weeks enough to get him up to like a championship position, or is he going to get another tag partner and come out and do that? What do you guys think is going to go on after that little promo we heard earlier going into the break from Kofi, who says, you're the guy or whatever now? Danger, you have any thoughts on that?
I don't know if he's legit hurt or not. He was walking around pretty decently. He did take a sick bump, and maybe he's just taking some time off. He's been on the road for, or doing the shows at least. They don't really go on the road currently for a while. So maybe he's just taking some time off, and they're going to do the thing where Big E steps forward because there's a lot of want for a Big E push. And maybe they push him towards that IC title after Grand Metalik gets his shot next week. We'll see what happens. I think it's more of a we're going to push Big E at this point and not focus so much on the New Day tag team than Kofi being seriously hurt or anything like that.
What do you think, Mr. Artiste?
I think it's long overdue. Like, I like that New Day hasn't split up in all this time, and I like that we'll get them back together, but Big E has proven that he can be a singles star. He was an NXT champion. I mean, he can be dominant in singles, and I would love to see him rise all the way up and get the title. Honestly, when I think of the three guys in the New Day, I think he's the one that stands out the most as singles power. We saw how popular Kofi got. I'm certainly maybe one day Woods as well, but I think Big E is the guy that could really make waves with a singles run. And so I hope it happens. I hope it doesn't get cut short. And I think it's cool. That's one of the only positive things I think I can take away from all of WWE this week is a little excitement from a potential Big E singles run.
All right. 222-1280, star 12 is the number if you want to call in or text. We got a text message asking thoughts on Bayley and Sasha. They're the best thing WWE has going right now, in my view. That was a text sent to us. If you have a text, you can send it to us at that number as well. They're not a bad thing, that's for sure. I mean, I'm not. We talked about how that was a good match between Asuka and Sasha on the pay-per-view, just to get ruined by Bayley putting on a jersey or putting on a referee shirt and counting having three count. Stephanie McMahon makes a rare appearance Monday night to just to solidify what that, that they were going to have to both fight for that title again. So she didn't really say anybody, it was stripped from anybody, but nobody has it right now as far as I can tell. What do you guys think about that statement?
That makes zero sense, by the way, what Stephanie said, because if Sasha didn't win the belt, even if Asuka didn't win the belt, she's still the champion because it's champion's rules. It's always, count out, pinfall, disqualification, any of that. As long as it's not pinfall submission for Sasha winning, the belt reverts back to Asuka. So Stephanie was making things up as they go, which they tend to do anyways. So that was that made no sense. But other than that, at least we get to see that match again, and hopefully we actually get a finish this time on Raw.
Yeah, and I mean, Sasha and Bayley are the two best women's wrestlers currently available in WWE, but they've got 100 girls under contract, and I just don't, like, the focus is so much on those two that, like, I don't need that much of them. They can be stars. They can be the top two stars of the entire division. That's great. But, I mean, there's so many other really talented girls that are being hoarded by WWE that deserve more TV time and more of a chance than they're getting right now, or let them go to Impact or AEW or something else. It's too much of just those two right now for me.
I know, and then they get to be on every show, apparently, as well as I think Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross also are like on every show now, too. We got to see them wrestle last night, and we got to see Nikki Cross beat Alexa Bliss so that she can take on Bayley again. Does this start this? I mean, all these teams are going to split eventually. Is this the start of the split? And is it Nikki Cross a little aggressive? Maybe she'll come out as the heel when it comes to this Alexa Bliss and her breaking up, because you know it's going to happen. There'll be jealousy. Something will happen. Maybe Bayley will drop the title to her, Nikki Cross. Who knows? What thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, you see it a little more every week that she's going, reverting back to her old sanity type character with some of the stuff she's doing. And then, you know, they did the makeup and all that good stuff after the match yesterday. They're like, oh, I'm so sorry, blah, blah, blah. I just got... But you're seeing that the title's driving her crazy. So there's that little tiny storyline there that is a little entertaining somewhat. But I don't think Bayley's ever going to drop the belt to her. I don't think she's ever going to see that belt, at least in the near future, because Bayley's going to eventually... I mean, they're building towards the Bayley-Sasha match eventually. Whenever they do it, I don't know, because unless they have a very short run-up to it, it's not looking like SummerSlam. They've only got a couple weeks here, and they should have already had the seeds planted. So, Nikki Cross is a heel. I could care less. She's a solid hand, but I don't think she's one of their top girls that should be in the main event. I think she's just a placeholder right now.
Okay. Makes sense. What about you, Rob?
I agree with that. I mean, I don't think she's not currently on that level. You got to work on any way you can build more stars in that division, especially when, you know, top stars get built up and then disappear. And they're going through that a little bit right now with Charlotte and Becky and everything. But I don't know. I don't think they need a hotshot feud necessarily between, like, Bayley and Sasha. But I don't know. I'd love to see some completely new girls in the mix with them pretty soon, too.
And you guessing right. I mean, I think we're all kind of guessing right now that they're just kind of staying in place until they can get back on the road. They can get back to regular or business. I think, you know, that's why, like I said, I was shocked that the tag titles actually changed hands on the pay-per-view, because we haven't seen a lot of titles changes at all since COVID.
But you also got to remember, they don't care about the tag titles. They're just kind of like figments of your imagination. No one cares about the tag belts. If you look right now, what other tag team, like Cesaro and Shinsuke went through a promo yesterday how they're going to squash every team that's left on SmackDown. Other than the Lucha House Party, what teams are on SmackDown right now that can actually wrestle with everybody physically fit?
True. I got another question from a texter. Comments on AEW winning Wednesday Night Wars and the wretched Raw ratings with Vince's investors call this week. So Vince has got an investment call this week, which is scary. Something like that happens, then you hear about, you know, and the network is going to be free and we're going to shut it down. But who knows? That's the last time he talked. He said that there was a lot of possibilities in what's going to happen with the network, because it's not making the numbers it should be. The Raw's not making the numbers it should be on Monday night. SmackDown's not making the numbers it should be on Friday night. So what do you guys think about AEW? And AEW did pull away. I mean, there was a significant pull away this past week between the two shows. We're talking like 200,000 viewers. So
Shout out to Jim Cornette, who is a big hater of the Young Bucks and the Butcher and the Blade, who pulled in the top rating with over 1 million eyeballs on that awesome match on Wednesday. So I'm sure he'll come out with a podcast and destroy about how he hated the match and this and that, but it's getting the most attention out there. And that was one of the parts of Dynamite that I thought was incredible on Wednesday night. Those two teams just went to war.
Not to defend Jim Cornette, but three out of the four people got hurt in that match too, so maybe they shouldn't be doing that on TV all the time.
That finish at the end was insane.
I mean, how long have we seen, you know, Pepper Parks wrestle over the last couple decades? How many times did he actually dive over
the... I'm not blaming Pepper at all for that one.
Can't blame. But I will say that at the very end, you know, when the Bucks won, you didn't see anybody getting up very fast after that match, especially after the way that ended. It was a great match. It was a lot of fun. It really shows you that the Bucks are selling machines. They're incredible. I mean, I think that, you know, people like Jim Cornette don't understand the allure, but if you watch their matches, they're just incredible. You know, they do.
To me, I don't understand how such a traditionalist like Jim Cornette is not a Butcher and Blade fan. Like, Andy's got like the very old school brawler mentality, but Blade, Pepper Parks, whatever you want to call him, Braxton Sutter, like, he's a guy trained by Les Thatcher who has a very kind of, you know, technical old school style to him too. Like, they're not the flippy do type team like the Bucks or you know, the Lucha Brothers or some of the others. So the amount of hate he gives them is crazy to me. But again, I don't care about any of his opinions at this point, really. But I just thought it was a very entertaining match with that, and I think it really it showcased how great that tag division is once again. And they keep going with it. FTR keeps having, you know, different opponents. They're doing more and more tag matches on Dark as well. I know they've got like a couple tag matches coming up Tuesday, one with Private Party and SCU, and there's just a lot going on with that. And even like we were just talking about kind of the women's tag division and stuff too. The AEW Women's Tag Tournament, I think, will be fun. Hopefully, that's another opportunity for them to start to bring in some more names as well. Their singles division on the women's side has been struggling, but, you know, I think this is a good opportunity for them to see some new faces, bring them in to that 16-woman, 18 tournament, and maybe offer up some more contracts from that as well, especially while they can't bring people in from outside North America.
Yeah, I agree, and maybe Tessa Blanchard might have a spot. We're going to go to break on this, come back. We've got one last segment. We got some news we didn't get through. We'll go through that next. You're listening to The Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
Yo, this is El Presidente de Mexican America, Hernandez, and you're listening to The Pain Clinic on WHTK. Feel the pain, and remember, ladies, nada es imposible.
Welcome back to The Pain Clinic. A little Hernandez, you can catch him on Impact Wrestling. He's been there quite a bit lately. You might remember Hernandez. We had him on the show, and he was a Texas wrestler. He came from Texas and got lucky to be part of LAX, and LAX was like the big thing for him. So welcome back. I'm the Cashman. I'm with the Artiste and Danger Boy and you, and we just got a couple minutes left. Looks like some news this past week. Jarrett Cruz, if you're planning on going on that this in February of next year, it's been rescheduled to October. I guess COVID-19 struck the Jarrett Cruz. I'm sure Chris Jericho's not happy about that at all. Also, the SummerSlam has been moved from Boston, Massachusetts, the TD Gardens, they didn't really say where, but I'm guessing it's going to be at the Performance Center in Orlando, and that's August 23rd. That's the next big pay-per-view. And you know, SummerSlam's a big one every year, so you definitely want to check that out. For all you ladies out there who are Angel Garza fans, I hate to break the news, but the dude got married recently, so... actually, his wife that he married was on Raw. He was playing a photographer who got kissed back in April. If you remember, Angel Garza coming down ringside and kissing the photographer. So I thought that's some interesting news. Also, it's interesting that they're having trouble getting wrestlers to come to the Performance Center to be in the crowd, which because of the COVID-19, and it's all voluntary. So what do you guys think about that? They're having problems getting people for the crowds. I know that they said they had to get people's friends to come in and be the crowd for the pay-per-view last weekend. You know, I mean, it's just still a sticky situation with what's going on, you know?
well, there's a lot of people that don't want to do it. And, like, they were trying to push as high up on the card as, like, Undisputed Era showing up to be part of the crowd for the backlot brawl match, which made no sense at all. But they're trying to get some kind of noise in there, and people don't want to do it. And there's also people that are saying it's a little less involuntary that you show up. So I don't blame them.
Guys? Yeah, I mean, there's the whole health aspect of it, first and foremost. But I also just, I know wrestlers don't love the idea of, hey, I'm a wrestling star, I'm trying to make myself look like a star and have an ego and all this kind of stuff, but then, like, I'm going to be in the background cheering and booing and stuff. Like, that's not what people do. Like, if a wrestler back in the day would show up at the Impact Zone and they weren't on the show, like, they'd hide up in the corner and watch the show. They didn't want to be on camera. Yeah. So I get every aspect of not wanting to be there.
Guys, we're out of time. We're running out of time. We got like 10 seconds left. I just want to say Mike Tyson has got a fight coming up against Roy Jones Jr., so it's going to take him out of AEW's plans for a little bit. I want to thank you guys for coming on. We'll see you next week, folks.